Hey everyone, welcome back to the Holy Work Podcast. I haven't done a solo one in a little while. I've had good guests, and so I kept putting those out, but I love doing the solo ones and just talking to you about what's on my heart and what I've been thinking about. And so today we're going to start with a little bit of a story. It starts back in 2002. I was slumped onto these carpeted steps we had in this little townhouse in Rockford, Illinois. I just got home from work, so it was probably 5:30-ish. It was a job that I hated, and Mandy asked me what was wrong, and I just sat there on these carpeted steps. It was like a gray carpet, you know, the kind. I didn't have words to tell her what was wrong, but I just felt something. It was anger, sadness, loneliness. I couldn't even name what I was feeling. I just knew something was deeply off, and I just started sobbing. Mandy came over. She pulled my head onto her shoulder, and she just let me cry. My tears soaked her shirt as I finally whispered to her, "This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing." But I had no idea what the alternative was. I just knew what was happening was not it. I was restless, but I was also sleepwalking. Sort of like those nights where you feel like you didn't sleep at all, but then your wife or spouse tells you, you were snoring pretty bad. And you're like, how can I have been snoring? I don't even think I was sleeping. A restless sleepwalker, emotionally, spiritually, mentally restless, but asleep. I was functioning. I went to school, got married, got a job, went. I did all the things I was supposed to do. And I was raging kind of underneath all that, but I was really just floating. I was addicted. I was in debt, overweight, out of shape, mentally scattered, and being shaped by literally everything around me, culture, people, and I didn't even realize it. I wasn't trying to be unhealthy or disconnected. It just sort of happened. And this is where so many of us begin. We're not lazy. We're not broken. We're just unaware, yet restless. I worked for Dave Ramsey for a long time, and I wandered into debt during this period. We just did what everybody else does. So we got cars, we got student loans, we got credit cards. We did all the things that everybody does. We wandered into this debt, and then we looked up and we're like, how did we get here? It is the same with your life choices. If you just go with the flow, float along, you will eventually look up and wonder how you got wherever it is, whether it's with your job, your relationships, your health. You just float into whatever's next. And that leads to a restlessness, but you can't put your finger on it. You don't know what you're feeling. You don't know what you really want. And just like with the debt, you can wander in, but as Dave Ramsey says, you can't wander out. You got to choose. You got to make a decision to wander out. At the point where you're wandering in, you just know something is off and we're too distracted or exhausted or addicted to name it. And the truth is you can live that way for years. I did, responsible, successful even, and completely numb to what I wanted or where I ultimately think God is pulling me. And so today we're diving into something I think a lot of us feel, but we rarely name, and that is restlessness. That buzzing, unsettled energy in your chest, that voice in the back of your mind saying, this isn't it. Maybe you feel it in your work, your creative life, your relationships, or your spiritual walk with God. But what if that restlessness isn't something to run from? What if it's God pulling you towards something, something that needs to be confessed or healed or created? And that's what we're going to talk about on today's podcast, restlessness. But before we jump all the way into this episode, I'm going to tell you about something that's become a daily lifeline for a ton of people right now, the daily journal prompts inside the Holy Work membership. If you're feeling overwhelmed or stuck or this restlessness we're talking about, spiritually scattered, this is for you. This is what changed my life over the course of years. I started writing out the truth of what I was thinking and feeling, which is why I started this whole brand, this podcast, all this stuff in the first place. But every single morning, we send out a short, powerful journal prompt that's rooted in the Holy Work Method. It's designed to help you get honest, listen to what God is saying, move forward with clarity and peace, even if life feels a little chaotic. These aren't fluffy prompts. They're crafted to help you dig deeper into what you need today. For example, today's simple prompt was, if you imagined your life 5 years from now, what would it look like if you were fully engaged, present, and living with a generous spirit? Write it out in vivid detail. The relationships, work, family, your faith. What do you notice? That was today's prompt. A lot of people want to have the space to slow down and figure out where they want to go. But once they do set aside the space and they get slow, they don't know what to do. These daily prompts come straight to your email each morning, walk you through exactly what to do for your journaling each morning, get your thoughts out of your head and onto the paper, name what you're feeling so it stops controlling you unconsciously, and start living with more intention, alignment, freedom. You don't need to overhaul your life. You just need one moment each day to slow down, be honest, and connect with God. That's what this Holy Work membership gives you. We also have twice a month, well, I'm going to be adding it to twice a month. We do it once a month now, a live guided session with some coaching at the end too with a group. And each time these things are incredible. They're always unexpectedly great. I can't explain it. So if you're interested in joining us there, go to holywork.com/membership to join. Start this daily practice today. All right, let's get into it. Restlessness. Is restlessness just anxiety in disguise maybe? Or is it a nudge from God? A pull is what I call it. And what does science say about it? Has anybody studied this, or are we just making this stuff up? Well, first, let's define it. Restlessness is a state of agitation or difficulty remaining still mentally or physically, often accompanied by a persistent urge for change or action. It can stem from an inner sense of dissatisfaction or heightened energy that makes it hard to relax or feel content with where you're at. In adults, especially creatives, entrepreneurs, spiritual seekers, I fall in all of these, which is why I have this problem and why I'm the poster child for this journaling stuff. And honestly, why I think God has me doing this business so that I hold myself accountable to slow down and not just get restless and change things on a whim. But like I said, in adults, especially creatives, entrepreneurs, spiritual seekers, restlessness is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it can motivate innovation, exploration, growth. But on the other hand, it can fuel anxiety, distraction, burnout. And today we're going to talk about those benefits and those negative sides of restlessness you may feel and what to do about it to help you move forward with some kind of plan. So psychologists say restlessness can come from all kinds of places. Overstimulation, lack of sleep, a hyperactive reward system in your brain, unmet desires. Creatives, entrepreneurs often experience it because their brains are wired to chase ideas and solve problems. So restlessness in the brain is often tied to dopamine, the chemical of anticipation. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter in your brain that contributes to feelings of alertness, focus, and motivation, and happiness. So that flood of dopamine, we all know this now, we've heard all about it from the phones and all those studies, it can make you feel euphoric, and we want to feel that. We want the next hit of it. So your brain, your mind is literally built to look for what's next. That's what those chemicals up there are doing, and dopamine has gotten a bad rap, like I said, because social media can manipulate it. But as our minds look for what's next, here's the twist. While too much restlessness can lead to burnout, anxiety, distraction, a healthy dose of it can fuel innovation, creativity, and spiritual growth. Your restlessness, I don't think, is something to run from. I think it's something to dive into. It's something to pay attention to. My restlessness, when I was crying into Mandy's shoulder there, 20 years ago now, was that I had something that God wanted to create with me, but I didn't yet know what to do with it. And it took me 20 years to figure some version of it out. I want you to get there way faster than 20 years. I want you to get there in one. I want you to figure out where you actually want to go, what you actually want to do, what desires God has put in your heart, and I want you to follow those pulls because God has something he wants to create with you in this life. No, this life is not all there is. There is always something more after this life, of course, but this life is to be lived, and Jesus wants to give you life and life more abundantly. Let's work not to just sleepwalk through it and go wherever we float. Let's go where we decide and where God, the creator of the universe, wants us to go. Let's go create with him. That's the healthy version of restlessness that causes innovation, creativity, and spiritual growth. So we're going to look at three types of restlessness today. The first one is epidermis level restlessness. This one is driven by distractions, comparison, digital noise. This is the kind that keeps you scrolling and second guessing. This is the kind getting a bad rap right now because it's tied to dopamine. It's getting a bad rap because it is a bad rap. I don't know how to say that, but epidermis level restlessness is this distraction-based one. I do it all the time now that I'm growing this business, building this membership up. When somebody signs up, I get a hit of dopamine and I'm like, oh, ding, 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 ding. And then I'm like, wait, what was I doing? Or if, you know, followers on social grow, oh, I'll get excited about that. I'll go talk to them. I'll send them a message. And then I'll be like, wait, what was I doing? Like, that is this restlessness taking me away from being focused on what I need to do. Journaling helps. You should see my journal. I've got my holy work method, and then I've got my list of to-dos for today. I've got my yearly goals. So many different things in this. So that's epidermis level restlessness, surface level distractions, comparisons, digital noise. The second is called existential restlessness. It's that sense that something deeper is missing. You're not burned out. You're just bored or misaligned with your true north. And the third one is sacred restlessness. I would call this your holy work, actually. A God-given pull or desire that won't let you settle. It doesn't agitate you. It invites you forward. So my goal here is to give you what I never had, some kind of framework to help you define where you are and what steps to take. 20 years ago, I didn't have it. So it came out as anger or depression and raging and starting and almost leaving Mandy because I was trying to find this kind of thing. So first, let's talk about these three types, and then you can decide if you're dealing with one of them. So I just went through them. It's the epidermis level restlessness. It's existential restlessness and sacred restlessness. So we're going to start with epidermis level. Surface level restlessness. The brain's reward system is key in this, that dopamine thing we were talking about. The neurotransmitter of anticipation and desire. This drives us to seek new experiences, imagine future rewards. So we all get that quick fix from social media. You also get it from staring at a girl for a little too long. Women, I'm not going to take any assumptions on what it is that you get your quick hits of dopamine for. I don't want to speak for my wife either, even though I could probably say something right now, but I will hold so that I don't get in trouble. When this dopamine activity is overstimulated or imbalanced, it can produce chronic feelings of restlessness or dissatisfaction. Mandy and I, we went to Family Leisure, the store today, and we need some new furniture for our back porch. Well, I don't really have that money in the budget right now. And we're building this business. We don't make the income we used to make. I'm not trying to play any games here and act like I got all my crap together. I do not. We're figuring it out. And I go in the store and they have just amazing things. And I start to compare to the people that can just come in, write the check, swipe the card, buy the thing however they want these days. And I start to feel that restlessness and dissatisfaction. That is the epidermis level restlessness. Modern life exacerbates this. Digital stimulation, social media, smartphones keeps our brain craving this next hit, locking people into a cycle of seeking that feeds this agitation. So, some examples. You reach for your phone, open Instagram, scroll for 2 minutes, close the app, then immediately reopen it. You're not even bored. You're just restless. It's a micro behavior. It's not about entertainment. It's just your brain looking for a dopamine hit to smooth and soothe out the itch of something. And that something is unnamed and undetermined. Next is you make a to-do list. Then you rewrite the to-do list in a nicer font. Then maybe go down the rabbit hole of looking for a better planner. And you feel like you're being productive, but you're actually just avoiding something deeper. It's this surface level restlessness. And you disguise it with busyness instead of doing the work we need to do. Another one, you're okay, feeling okay about your day until you see someone post about a new job or project that they're doing that you feel behind on, and suddenly you're questioning, am I doing enough? Am I behind? You literally weren't restless or anxious 5 minutes ago, but that dopamine spike from comparison rewired your emotional state. Next, you binge watch a bunch of motivational videos, you read 12 productivity hacks, you save 47 inspirational quotes, or for me, I go to ChatGPT, enter my business plan, help them figure out how to make it better, and then I never actually took action on the thing. This happens to me all the time. Your brain is mistaking consuming inspiration for living it out. That's dopamine-fueled distraction. All right, last one. It's 9:30. you're tired, you feel a little bit off. And instead of journaling, praying, or settling your mind down, you open YouTube and let the algorithm decide what you think about for the next hour. Sleepwalking and floating. You're not relaxing. You're numbing. This is all epidermis level restlessness. The root of epidermis level restlessness is caused by something deeper, which is our second type of restlessness, existential restlessness. What a word. What is life? That sense that something deeper is missing. You're not burned out. Although if you don't deal with it, you will be. You're just bored and misaligned with your true self. So a few years ago, I wrote to a friend. This was probably, 2015, 16, 10 years ago. I wrote this. I feel stuck right now. I've felt stuck for a while, honestly. I've said over this last few months that I'm having a hard time feeling anything. I even told some people I was bored. The words, the art, the emotion for what I'm supposed to push on next have been really hard to find. And it's scary. It's wilderness, but something is there pulling. It isn't an unending wilderness. It's a wilderness on the way somewhere, even if I'm not exactly sure where. That's that existential restlessness. It's, you feel this in the middle of the wilderness. In the Holy Work method, the wilderness is something that sucks a lot of people in. I was super restless then, and it wasn't just at the epidermis level. And right around that time, I was reading a book called The Artist's Journey by Stephen Pressfield. I'd written that to a friend, and then I think Mandy actually bought the book for me, The Artist's Journey. Stephen Pressfield wrote The War of Art. He wrote Turning Pro. He wrote Put Your Ass Where Your Heart Wants to Be. Just, I mean, this guy is like the king of dealing with your restlessness. He calls it resistance. Well, this is what the book said as I finished writing that stuff I just said to my friend. Pressfield says, have you ever met someone who says, I have no passion for anything. I wish I could feel it, but I can't. The only thing I feel is boredom. So I read that and I was like, oh no, here we go. Well, here's what he says. Bullshit. Sorry if you have a kid in the car. I should have warned you. He says that, I know this is a lie because I lived it for years. Show me someone who claims he doesn't give a shit and I'll show you a born artist who is scared out of his wits to become that artist. Our subject is sitting right in front of us, but we can't see it because we are terrified. That captures this feeling of existential restlessness. We are scared out of our wits to say what we want. We know what and where we are right now isn't ultimately where we want to be, and we may say we don't know what we want or where we want to go, but I agree with Pressfield here. We do know what we want. We are just scared out of our wits to admit it and do the hard work to get it. When I wrote that to my friend, I had an incredible job. I was doing incredible work, but it isn't ultimately what I wanted to do. I wanted to be writing this podcast. I'm writing right now. I wanted to be trying to build a business around helping people find and follow their holy work through this practice of journaling and actually doing the work to get what they want. But at the time, that sounded absurd. I'm going to leave my well-paying, connected, mission-focused job to help people journal? Even as I say it, okay, Luke. Like, I was scared out of my wits. What, I'm going to go and figure out sponsorships for a podcast? I'm going to have to build a social following. I'm going to have to build an email list, like starting from scratch. It sounds insane, and it kind of is. But fear holds us back, so we stay in the thing that is misaligned with our true desires, our true selves, and we get bored and restless. I've talked to hundreds of people about this now, and most of those fears that hold us back fall into these four categories. The fear of failure. What if I try and it doesn't work? What if I invest time and money into this and it goes nowhere? Number two, the worry about what other people will think, afraid of judgment or lack of support from family or friends. Number three is self-doubt, whispering, who am I to do this? I'm not qualified enough. And number four, the fear of rejection. The anxiety of putting something out into the world and just hearing silence in return. My first few emails on the newsletter list, my first few social posts, like just silence. And it seems so silly. But what is incredible about all four of these fears is they all come down to one thing: other people. If you were on an island by yourself, you would have no fear of other people. You would run around naked, create whatever you wanted to create, do whatever you wanted to do. Most of our fears that hold us back is because we are afraid of what others will think. Existential restlessness, I would argue, comes from being terrified to say out loud and then go after what you really want. Now, about the question of what you really want, this leads us to the third type of restlessness, a sacred restlessness, holy work. We've had epidermis level restlessness, then existential restlessness. Now we've come to sacred restlessness, a God-given pull or desire that won't let you settle. It doesn't just agitate you, it invites you forward. St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." That quote holds so much truth. Restlessness isn't always something to be fixed. Sometimes it's a flame that points us home. In scripture, people like Moses, David, Paul all experienced moments of restlessness, the urge to step out, speak up, Abraham, or change directions. They didn't ignore it, they followed it. I often thought that my restlessness was actually pulling me away from God, what God wanted. But actually, no, it was him saying, stay here now, you're learning, but I am going to change something. I am pulling you somewhere. In a life journey context, a bit of restlessness can be an engine for you to move. This restlessness is an inner pull that causes you to fight for greater meaning, truth, connection. It's not a flaw. This type of restlessness pushes people to grow beyond their current comfort zones. The great awakenings and transformations of life often begin with restless questioning. There's got to be more to life than this. This sacred restlessness can lead to positive outcomes in your life. You can find your calling. You can adopt something healthy in your lifestyle. You can start working out. You can start engaging in philanthropy, making something you've always wanted to make, creating something you want to create. When we channel this restlessness, it is when real change happens. Keeps us from stagnating. If you're a business owner out there, this restlessness to keep growing, that is what drives the business. That is a holy, sacred restlessness. It pushes us to learn, create, and seek alignment with our deeper selves. God, when he created the world, said, I want to share this with someone else. He created out of that, I want something to happen with these people. I want to share this love I have with others. This kind of restlessness is what we call the pull in our holy work method. Creative people often say that a certain degree of restlessness fuels their best work. In experiments, those high in creativity were less likely to feel bored when they're alone. They let their thoughts run freely. Like, this is where original work comes from. By not getting too content or settled, creative minds remain driven to iterate, to improvise until their vision is realized. And I believe this type of restlessness is put there by God because he has something he wants to create with you. And if you've been following me for a while, you've heard this many times before, but do you know who the first person the Bible mentions as being specifically filled with the Spirit, where God says, I filled this person with the Spirit? It's not Adam. It's not Noah. It's not Abraham. It's not Moses. It's not even Jesus. Now, I know all the scholars, biblical scholars out there are going to freak out and be like, no, Adam was filled with the Spirit. Joseph was first person because Pharaoh said, surely this man is filled with the Spirit. Yes, those things are all true. And all those people were filled with the Spirit. But the first time the Bible explicitly names someone as being filled with the Spirit of God, where God says, I have filled him with the Spirit, is Exodus 31. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and all kinds of skills. Why does this matter to you? Why was this man filled with the Spirit? It wasn't specifically to preach, although that might be your pull. It wasn't specifically to lead an army, although that might be your pull. It was not specifically to perform miracles, although you might be pulled to do that. This specific person was filled with the Spirit to create, to make artistic designs, to work with gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. The first person the Bible explicitly says was filled with the Spirit was a creative, a craftsman, an artist, a designer. And God filled Bezalel with wisdom, understanding, and skill to make something that would hold his presence. Think about that. God chose to work through a human. He filled a human to bring his vision into reality, and God is doing the same with you. Whether you believe it or not, you are a creative, and God wants to fill you with his Spirit to create something that will hold his presence on this earth and show him to others. And sometimes he prompts that creativity with, you guessed it, restlessness. So what do we do with all this? Yes, Luke, I'm restless. I feel it. Now what? Well, first, get your journal out and write down which one of these you think you are feeling. Is it the epidermis level? Is it just the phone you need to put away for a while? Is it just your eyes lingering on something you shouldn't be lingering on? Is it comparison? Is it that epidermis level one? Or is it the second one? Is it existential? That sense of something deeper being missing, where you're not burned out, you're just bored and misaligned? Or is it the last one, the sacred restlessness, which is a God-given pull or desire that won't let you settle? It doesn't just agitate you, it invites you forward. I'm going to give you one action in each of these to help you figure out what to do next with each one here in just a second. But first, I just want to remind you about what I talked about at the beginning of this podcast. The thing that's become a daily lifeline for a ton of people who are feeling that restlessness, mostly the existential restlessness. They feel like there's something there that they don't know and it's not defined quite yet, but they want to get it figured out. Whether it's a relational problem, a heart problem, a soul problem, that existential restlessness is what these daily journal prompts in the Holy Work membership just help immensely with. And the Holy Work membership also has the Holy Work course at the beginning, this foundations course that just unlocks your heart, soul, mind, strengths, give you language for the feelings so you can put words to what this restlessness is. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling restless, stuck in your head, this is for you. Because we send out every single morning after you've gone through this masterclass, short, powerful journal prompts that are rooted in this Holy Work method, help you get honest, listen to what God is saying. You journal for 10 minutes to get through all this epidermis crap so that you can actually start to realize what you actually want and stop sleepwalking. Again, you don't need to overhaul your life if you're feeling restless. You just need one moment of clarity each day to slow down, be honest, connect with God, and he will lead you to the next steps. That's what the Holy Work membership can give you. Go to holywork.com/membership to join. Start this daily practice today. Okay, let's get back to what to do about your restlessness. So for epidermis level restlessness, which is driven by distractions, comparison, digital noise, this is the kind that keeps you scrolling, second guessing. The one thing you got to do when feeling this is to move your body. Just go for a walk. Remove any new information too. But the main thing is to go move your body. Get your heart pumping, get oxygen going through your blood. Go for a walk, put your phone down. Don't listen to a podcast or music. Our minds are just being filled up all the time and we need to give them a break. Your mind is like a kid who had sugar cereal for breakfast, then McDonald's for lunch and a sucker in the afternoon and then ice cream for dinner. And the parents can't figure out why he's bouncing off the walls. Stop the madness of your information overload in your brain and just go for a walk at least 15 minutes. Change the state of your body and you will change the state of that epidermis level restlessness. Now, for existential restlessness, a sense that something deeper is missing, you're not burned out, you're just bored or misaligned. For this one, the one thing you got to do is take 30 minutes, find a quiet place where you will not be interrupted, put your phone on do not disturb, grab your journal, and answer this question without any judgment. What do I actually want to do or be in my life? It's different for everybody. That's because this is your unique pull. I've journals over the years where I wrote, I want to be an author like John Eldridge. I want to write books and have podcasts and build a business around journaling, creativity, leadership. It felt really selfish writing that stuff out at the time. All the voices came into my head. Who are you to do that? It felt terrifying to say out loud what I want versus what someone else's wants. Like, no, this is what I want. But that's what holds us back. That fear. I was scared out of my wits to go after these things. It would mean sacrificing everything safe that I knew up to that point. It would mean starting over, essentially. I don't know what it is for you, but I wrote it down, I started to name it, and I started to say it. So write down what you actually want. If it's a relationship problem, write down what needs to be healed. Write down what needs to be talked about. No judgment. What started this whole holy work journaling thing was me writing a letter to Mandy back in 2010. We had been married 9 years. And I had pornography addictions. I had mental addictions in my brain where I was not thinking clearly. I was not seeking God each day. Finally, I wrote her a letter and I told her everything. I turned over all the stones and I said, listen, if we're going to be married, we might as well go all in. You got to know the truth about who you're with here. When I wrote her that letter, something was released. I really wanted connection with her. I wanted a great marriage. So I told the truth. No, it wasn't easy. It took forever to work through a lot of things. She was hurt, but it changed our life. Write down what you actually want. And lastly, for sacred restlessness, a God-given pull or desire that won't let you settle. It doesn't just agitate you, it invites you forward. Once you've written down what it is you want, or maybe you just wrote the truth out, finally, you told the truth, you confessed something. If you're a Christian, this thing, this pull, this desire, this restlessness is a signal of what God wants to create with you. When I wrote Mandy that letter, I didn't know it, but he wanted to create a marriage, a life for us that I had no words for. And I know you're doubting it. I know you think you might just be selfish if it's something like, oh, I want to write a book or I want to build a business or I want to create or write or whatever it is. You might think it's selfish. It's not. It's a desire God put deeply in your soul, no one else's. God gives each of us different desires and he wants us to follow. Which leads us to the one thing you can do for your sacred restlessness. Write down in your journal one thing you could do in less than 5 minutes that could move you one step closer to this desire you have. It might be just saying it out loud to a friend. It might be calling someone who's already doing what you want or has a better marriage or a better business or a better relationship. Go get coffee with them. Text them. Do something that takes less than 5 minutes, but you have to act on that restlessness. God will steer you as you go, but if you never act, you will never know. It's so much easier to steer a moving car than a parked one. So make the choice, one small action to move. I didn't know writing Mandy that letter, telling her the truth, would lead me to starting a business and a mission to help people journal 20 years later. But I was moving. We were going to do something. I was not going to stay in that same spot. Ah, restlessness. And looking back, I can say this. Every major shift in my life has begun with some kind of restlessness. Not panic, not clarity, restlessness. It wasn't like a, here's exactly what's next. And it also wasn't like, oh my God, I gotta do something. It was a restlessness that I eventually took action on. I think it's one of the most sacred invitations God gives us. So if you want help naming your restlessness, turning it into something purposeful, join us in the Holy Work membership. These daily prompts will help you notice, name, move forward. Remember to go to holywork.com/membership. Restlessness is not the enemy. It might just be the starting point. A holy discomfort, a pull. Pay attention to it. Don't numb it. Follow it to the root. There you're going to find God waiting. And as always, I don't want this Holy Work podcast to be just another piece of content that goes in one ear and out the other. The whole point of this podcast is to help you slow down so you can actually figure out where you're going, what you want, and where God is pulling you. So I always want to give space at the end of this to give you some time to reflect. Don't just flip to the next piece of content. Your brain has not even come close to processing this. So we're going to end with a little meditation and a time of quiet for you to listen. So I want you to slow yourself down. If you're able, I want you to put your feet on the ground. You might be walking or driving, so don't do that. But if possible, I want you to close your eyes and cross your arms. And I just want you to recognize your breathing. Don't change anything about it. Just recognize it. Are you breathing fast? Are you breathing slow? How about your shoulders? Just let them relax. We often don't even know how much tension we're holding in them. I just want you to take a deep breath, going 4 seconds in through your nose, filling your belly, And as you release, I want you to purse your lips and release for about 8 seconds through your mouth. I'll count one here and model some after that. So let's inhale, 2, 3, 4, and exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And again, inhale, and exhale. And again, inhale and exhale. That's good. I'm not sure all the things you got going on in your life today, but I do know today is not a random day. Today is a small dot in the huge tapestry that is your life. A life that started a long time ago as you were wove together in your mother's womb. A life that has a point, a purpose, a meaning, a mission, a pull towards something. And that something is your transformation. And there's so many things that can get in the way of us acknowledging this fact. Sickness and stress and impatience and anxieties and our upbringings and our circumstances and our bills and our government and flat tires and sore backs and headaches and some really big overwhelming problems that nobody knows about but you right now. And we think all these things are in our way. But they're actually the things God is using to transform us. You're part of a bigger story. Your life story is bigger than all those overwhelming things. You just got to show up. Keep doing the work. And all these minutes, hours, days, and years will morph into decades that form the life and the person that God calls you. There's no other place to be right now. So just choose to be here now. We're going to take 1 minute. I just want you to sit in the quiet. I want you to notice the things happening in the car or the room or the walk you're on. The noises, the smells, your breathing. We rarely sit in quiet. We have so many distractions. In this hour, it's about slowing down. I'm going to start 1 minute now. Okay, that was 1 minute. So what we're going to do next is a little listening exercise. Just sit in the silence. Let your heart, soul, and mind process all the things you heard. It's not about us getting everything out of our heads and our hearts. This is about learning to listen and discern God's voice. So I just want you to close your eyes and take that deep breath again. And I just want you to ask God, in light of everything I've heard today, what do I need to hear from you? What do you want me to remember and take away from this? And I just want you to listen. Your mind may start racing and doing the squirrel brain thing, but just let it happen. Focus back on the question. What do I need to hear from you today? What do you want me to remember and take away from this? And spend 1 minute in silence and think about that question. Just close your eyes and listen. If a word or sentence comes to you, just write it down. Given him all your cares for today, now he has something for you. I'll start 1 minute now. Okay, that was 1 minute. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the solo episode. I hope it was inspiring for you and helpful for you to define what your restlessness is and a plan to get forward. Do those things. Do those exercises I suggested if you're feeling those things. Thanks for being here. If this resonated with you, share it with someone who's feeling unsettled. Go leave a review on Spotify and Apple. Those things help us keep this thing going. And remember, you don't have to be fearless to move forward. You just got to be honest. That's the Holy Work plan. Get a journal. Truth. Honesty. It'll lead you forward. And our quote of the day comes from Thomas Edison. He says, "Restlessness is discontent, and discontent is the first necessity of progress." All right. Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you next time.